This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hi and welcome to Money Control. This is Prakash Sachdev and you are tuned into On The Ball, our podcast on top sporting events across the world. Today I have with me senior sports journalist, cricket writer and the editor of Cricket Next, Gaurav Kalra. Great to have you on the show, sir, so close to the Cricket World Cup.
It's wonderful to be here.
So speaking about the World Cup, in the England-Pakistan ODI series leading into the Cup, we saw some really high-scoring matches. But as the warm-up matches of the tournament has begun, we are seeing that bowlers are getting assistance. What kind of pitches can we expect once the main event starts?
I think the warm-up matches are perhaps not giving us the real picture of what we will see during the World Cup. If you look back at the how one-day cricket has been played in England over the last few years in international series, there have been very high-scoring matches. So perhaps there might have been a couple of matches in which either the wickets were fresh or the overhead conditions, which can happen in England, were conducive for bowling. But I still think that we will see a reasonably high scoring World Cup. Because it is a World Cup and it comes with its own pressures and challenges, we may not see a lot of matches which will get 350, 375 type scores, but I still think that we'll see a fair amount of 300 scores and who knows, maybe one or two 400 plus scores also.
Do you expect 500, as Virat Kohli said?
I think he said that in half jest, but sometimes you get a little worried about or you get an indication as to where the game is heading with the kind of scores that England in particular have been putting up last couple of years. They've crossed 400 three times. One game they got to 470. So it is a distinct possibility because some of these grounds are a bit small, and when the conditions get flat and the bowling attack comes under the pump, then anything is possible. But I think only a couple of teams really are capable of getting a 500 in a one-day international. One of them is England and the other one is West Indies. I don't think any other team is going to be able to get 500.
Okay, that's interesting. So football legend and Dutch great Johan Cruyff once gave the theory of total football, where every footballer was comfortable playing at any position. In cricket, with the likes of England and West Indies, is cricket now moving towards total cricket?
I don't think so. I think cricket is a game in which a lot of value is attached to individual skills. Batsmen, after all, are batsmen. Bowlers are bowlers. Of course, a player who is able to contribute on both aspects with equally well is a rare player in cricket. And if you look back in the history of the game, there haven't been that many top class all-rounders. There have of course been some players who've been better batsmen than bowlers and some players who've been better bowlers than batsmen, but there haven't been a lot of players. Like, you can think of Gary Sobers, Kapil Dev, Imran Khan, Ian Botham, players like this who were equally skilled as batsmen and bowlers. But in this World Cup, if you look around, you don't see a lot of players who are top quality all-rounders. There's of course Shakib Al Hasan of Bangladesh, Hardik Pandya of India, but he's a better batsman than bowler. Ben Stokes of England is another one. But I don't think that even anytime soon have a team in which there are 7-8 players who are equally adept at both aspects.
Okay, that's interesting. So talking about tournament favourites India, for some reason they have started their World Cup campaign on a disappointing note with a loss against New Zealand. So what do you infer from the loss?
I don't think you take away too much from this loss at all. I mean, it's a warm-up game at the end of the day. The players are still just perhaps got caught out on a day in which the conditions assisted the fast bowlers, and as a result, they had a little bit of a slip-up as a batting unit. I still think India is a very strong team. They will not worry about this performance, or in fact, if they have another poor performance in the second warm-up game, because I really don't think warm-up games give you any real indication as to where the teams stand. I think there's so much quality in the Indian lineup, and especially in the top three batting that they have, that once these guys start to find rhythm and groove, then it will be very, very difficult for opposition attacks. I think it will be a huge upset of sorts if India don't make the semi-finals of this World Cup. I think they are very, very well placed to make the semifinals. And after that, it's two matches and many factors come into it.
Okay, so let's talk about a player about whom the Indian skipper Virat Kohli also talked a lot about, MS Dhoni. What do you think is Dhoni's best batting position? Is he fit enough for that critical, is he good enough for that critical number four position?
I think that would have that is a position where India should have given MS Dhoni a little bit more time to settle down. He himself, when he gave up captaincy, talked about how he wanted to move up the batting order. And I think if India look at their batting order, Dhoni actually at four makes a lot of sense, because you have the top three who win India most of their matches and bat for most of the overs, Shikhar, Rohit and Virat Kohli himself. And after that, India need a little bit of a steadying influence in that middle order, so that the hitters who come below him, players like Hardik Pandya, Kedar Jadhav, who are big hitters of the ball, they are able to make the most of that final finish that India needs. So Dhoni could have been like the glue in the middle order, who wasn't under pressure to start hitting from the first ball that he came in. But I think they did not really give him enough opportunities in that position. So as a result, it might be difficult to put him in straight in there at number four for the World Cup. I think they will stick to the players who have been identified for that role in much more than actually giving Dhoni that chance.
Okay, but do we still see Dhoni in that finishing role? Do we still see that Dhoni finishing the matches for India, or someone else has to take the mantle from him?
I think India in that way is a little lucky, because they do have players like Hardik Pandya, who's a big hitter and who was in very good form in the IPL. His six hitting was just phenomenal, from another planet really. And Kedar Jadhav has also done a really good job at number six in the last few years. He's made a lot of runs, he's made them quickly. So I think Kedar Jadhav and Hardik Pandya will probably be the more aggressive finishers. Dhoni will be the calming influence and the person who shepherds run chases, or to ensure or ensures that that if there is a stumble at the top of the order, then the collapse is averted. So he will play the senior statesman role. And of course, in the IPL, he showed that he was in reasonably good hitting form. The only note of caution one must add there is that the IPL is very different to one-day cricket, and the quality of bowling in one-day internationals with all international teams involved is going to be very much higher, and Dhoni's record off late in one-day cricket hasn't been that great.
Okay, what about Ravindra Jadeja? His fighting 50 against the Kiwis came as a surprise to everyone. And what do you think? Do you think that Ravindra Jadeja will now start, considering that he scored a 50 and that he's more effective on flat tracks as a line and length bowler?
My view is I don't think I see a spot for Ravindra Jadeja unless India play a spin attack in which there are three spinners, or which is very, very unlikely in England. Or because my point of view is that India will most likely want to play with their two wrist spinners, Chahal and Kuldeep Yadav, because in a World Cup where run scoring is expected to be quite high in the middle overs, India needs wicket taking options. So if they were to play both Chahal and Kuldeep Yadav, then I don't see how Jadeja comes into the picture. Yes, he had a good performance in the warm-up game, but then he was batting in a position in which India were in a little bit of a crisis situation, and he extracted them from that situation. However, India will hope that that is not the role that they have to give him, because their top order is quite strong. They also have players like Kedar Jadhav, Dhoni, Jadeja and Hardik Pandya that you mentioned before. So normally India should not be in a position from where they need to be rescued. So my personal view is I'll be very surprised if Jadeja is in the playing 11 for India's first match. But then, you know, these things can happen, especially because Kuldeep has had a poor IPL, and if the team management thinks his confidence is not back and he's not bowling as well as he should be, then maybe they will bring Jadeja into the mix.
Interesting and insightful. So come June 5th, what would be India's playing 11? Which 11 players do you think will take the field against South Africa?
I think India will go with a fairly traditional playing 11. I think they will go with Obviously, the top three will be Shikhar Dhawan, Rohit Sharma, and Virat Kohli. Vijay Shankar at four because he also offers the option of maybe a few overs. Dhoni at five, Kedar Jadhav at six, Hardik Pandya at seven. Two spinners in Chahal and Kuldeep, and two fast bowlers in Bhuvneshwar and Jasprit Bumrah.
So you don't see Shami starting, you see Bhuvneshwar starting ahead of Shami.
They might be tempted to do that, considering Shami's been in very good form of late. But I think Bhuvneshwar probably pips him because he's got a very good record in England and also is a bowler who you can probably consider more suited to English conditions. But I think that is the whole point of these warm-up matches, that you get hints and clues about players, who's in form, who's bowling well, batting well, who are the players that you can rely on a little more than the others. So perhaps Shami ahead of Bhuvneshwar, yes, that can happen. And like I said, perhaps Jadeja ahead of Kuldeep, that could also happen. And who knows, KL Rahul might play at 4 instead of Vijay Shankar. That's the whole point of having a 15-member squad.
Okay, speaking about the format of the World Cup, then after 2015, the number of participating teams in the tournament have been reduced to 10. But should the teams like Sri Lanka, Bangladesh and Afghanistan fail to impress in this World Cup, do you see ICC devising the format of the World Cup?
Well, you know, the ICC has been working on the format of the World Cup and they've been changing a lot of things around. If you, the 2015 World Cup featured 14 teams and the 2019 one has now been brought down to 10 teams. And I think my understanding is that it's already decided that the 2023 World Cup will also be about, will be between the 10 teams. That might, of course, be open to change. Now, there are two points of view on this. Many people believe that some of the associate nations or the nations that are just outside these 10 should also be participating at a World Cup. And other people say that this format encourages a much more competitive tournament, which will mean every team plays every team and then you get a rightful decision on who the four semi-finalists are and the eventual champions. So different opinions on this. I think that the ICC will look at how this tournament goes, what it, how it does in terms of television ratings, in terms of audiences and what their interest is in the tournament. And because it is always challenging, once a World Cup begins, after the first week, 10 days, interest tends to just drop a little. So that will be the big challenge. If the fact that these, every match is a high profile team in against a high profile team, means that there is sustained interest, then the ICC might be tempted to stay with this format.
Finally, what do you expect out of the opening week of this tournament, with the likes of South Africa, England, India and West Indies in fray in action? So what can we expect in the opening week?
I think the three teams that should easily make through, or well, the three teams that are ahead of others in terms of their chances of making through, are England, Australia and India. These three teams have been in very good form of late. They seem to have the best personnel as well. If I were to do a toss-up, I would think the West Indies have a chance, but they tend to be erratic and inconsistent. So they might lose out a little bit. From what I'm seeing, the early signs of New Zealand are looking good. So I feel that maybe New Zealand will be the fourth team besides the other three that I mentioned who will make the last four.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. It was great to have you on the show.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
With that, it's a wrap on this episode of On The Ball. For more news and views, stay logged on to Money Control. Thanks for listening.